And good morning. It's time to start the day with some great ideas about how do you improve your health. We're going to give it another go today, see what happens. I'm going to share with you a story I just read like 2 minutes ago. Once upon a time, 1938 to be precise, there was a pistol shooter. He was incredibly good. He had plans to be the best. Unfortunately, our hero has his right hand blown off by a faulty hand grenade. Evidently, the timing system did not work right. There was no delay. And so, that was his shooting hand. Wouldn't that be horrible? So, all hopes are lost, right? Or are they? After a depressing month in the hospital, our hero decides that he will simply learn how to shoot just as well with his left hand. So he starts secretly training. He trains and trains and trains. He's now very good. He shows up at the 1939 World Championships. Everyone's shocked to see him there, and they're even more shocked when he wins. His Olympic dreams are back on track. Of course, enter World War II. The 1940 and 1944 Olympics are canceled, so he waits. He shows up at the next Olympics. He's now 38. The world champion asks him, "What are you doing here?" Our hero tells him he's there to learn. I like that. And he wins. His name is Karoly Tokax. What's the moral of the story? Keep shooting. Or, for the rest of us, keep trying. Isn't that amazing? So, what do we do if, what would happen if we start our day with the attitude of, whatever it takes, I want to improve? You know, you've got an issue with your health. Every human being that's ever walked this planet, at some point, they're going to have an issue. That could be an infection. Maybe they're developing an autoimmune disease. Maybe their body is just succumbing to all the wear and tear of life. That, you know, life is hard. You're going to have plenty of dents and dings. People have falls. They break bones. So when your health is on the line, or maybe in some people's case, when your life is on the line, and it's pretty iffy if you're going to recover, you've got that rising to the occasion kind of perseverance, in which we know that we have the ability, with the good Lord's help, that we can set out to overcome any problem that we have. I like that. I'm going to start this morning with an article that I came across, and a lady and I discussed this, and it was a relevant issue, so I'll just say it that way. Okay, so there was an interesting study done where they're trying to find out what can we do to help with some of the aggression that people have. You know, people are angry, they're irritable, they're cranky, they're just ready to blow. They're overly aggressive to the point of even violence sometimes. One of the studies that I read this week, and I think it specifically looked at boys. I don't remember girls being a part of the study, but it showed when young boys below the age of 5 or 6, if you could measure the amount of screen time they had, like on a cell phone of a parent, that was definitely related to developing aggression and bad behavior later in life, like when they were 12 or 13 or 14. So you can't look the other way. This stuff is huge, which means if you got your kids on the cell phone all the time, well, you're setting them up for disaster. Let me read this to you right here. This article is about what can you do, and one of the simple solutions is, why don't we just give these kids or human beings fish oil? This article, I'm sorry, I misspoke. This is not about young children. I was just trying to incorporate the idea. So, what if you had a child that had significant behavioral issues, like they cannot control themselves from what they say? You ever heard a child produce words from their lips that are just less than ideal? How about that? Okay. French researchers, and I hope I say this right because it's French. I'm not French. Affiliated with the University of See, I want to say Grenoble, but I'm sure it's Grenoble. Excuse me. I know, sometimes I laugh at myself. Maybe you don't think it's funny, but anyway. So, the University of Grenoble, they had about 200 volunteers that participate as test subjects. Now, what I would have preferred is they had 200 highly aggressive young men that were hard to exhibit the fruit of the spirit called self-control. All right? Or maybe goodness. But they didn't do that. Okay, here's what they did. The researchers divided 194 subjects, and these were aged 18 to 45 years old, into two groups. So for 6 weeks, that's 6 weeks, that's a month and a half, one group received a supplement with fish oil. The other group, guess what they got? They got a placebo. So before and after the 6 weeks, the researchers determined the subject's aggression with a standardized questionnaire. And what they did was they used statements, or they posed statements to those in the study or the subjects, such as, if I have to resort to violence, I will. And another question, given enough provocation, I may hit another person. The study participants then had to indicate whether they agreed with this or not. So the lowest possible score was, and I quote, that's a one, the number one. That's extremely uncharacteristic of me. And the highest possible score was, that is extremely characteristic of me. All right. So after 6 weeks of administration of fish oil capsules or the placebo, the aggression scores in the experimental group and the control group were respectively decreased, and they remain constant. But I've got the chart in front of me, and they have this graph that shows how aggressive, you know, people are according to the questionnaire was, and then what happens when they give them fish oil. And at looking at the chart, man, it is night and day different. After 6 weeks, the level of aggression or anger or violence, it went down really significantly. Okay, they go on to say that the subjects in the, and this is where you may want to actually know. Okay, so maybe this doesn't apply to you. Think of somebody else that just has no self-control and they have a temper. How about that? That's one way of looking at it. The subjects in the experimental group, they took two capsules of fish oil every day. Each capsule contained 319 milligrams of DHA and 386 milligrams of EPA. So on a daily basis, the subjects consumed thus 638 milligrams of DHA and 772 milligrams of EPA. That's basically 1,410 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids. Guess what I had for breakfast this morning? Well, it wasn't food, but I had some fish oil. I just like taking fish oil in the morning. Okay, with such a dose, the placebo group is useless, you might think, if you're in the experimental group, right? No. Even those in the control group, they showed some benefit. So here's the conclusion. This is what the researchers write. This experiment suggests that omega-3 administration may reduce physical aggression in the general population, the researchers summarize. This is a very important positive effect of omega-3 fatty acids, in addition to their many other benefits. That's interesting. Now, here's three quick articles. I'll just read them to you. I'm not going to read the articles to you. But here's one right here about fish oil. Yeah, kind of the same topic, right? Oh, by the way, let me give out the phone number. Last week, for whatever reason, I couldn't really take phone calls. Just couldn't get the controls to work right. Maybe they're repaired today. I can tell you right now, John Paul, he is like Johnny on the spot. And he's actually John Paul on the spot at fixing things. So the phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. This program is Health Essentials. Somebody's trying to call, so let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I was wondering if you could give me some feedback on hot flashes. I believe I'm in perimenopause, and the hot flashes are interesting.
Okay, the two articles that I happened to read last night just briefly was about using, I'm going to see if I can get it right. I'm almost positive it was 1 tablespoon. If I'm not right, I'll come back and correct it, alrighty?
Okay.
One tablespoon of flaxseed meal. It had a very significant impact on helping women that are going through menopause that have a whole bunch of symptoms. So hot flashes would be one of those, right? But there's other ones.
Absolutely.
There's one called vaginal dryness, lack of libido. I know this is going to sound impossible, what I'm fixing to say, because you've never experienced it or witnessed it, but some women, they have like mood swings. Have you ever heard of that?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, anyway, it's just theoretical. So the skin might start to become dry and brittle. They might have hot flash issues, but they showed in this particular study that taking a tablespoonful, I hope I got the dose right, of flaxseed meal. And that's cheap and easy to come by. So it's interesting that taking flaxseed meal was just enough to help positively improve hormone levels in women. And we know that because the symptoms began to go away. Like the women weren't all hot and moody. No, I'm just joking about that. So the next one I'm going to refer to is one that I've probably studied in greater detail. There is a culinary spice. It is used frequently in Indian food, sometimes it's added to curry, but it's called fenugreek. Have you ever heard of fenugreek?
I think so.
Well, this is interesting because this is one substance that seems to improve all those parameters I just discussed. Energy levels, the ability to have a good, I started to say attitude, but you know I was talking about mood and how you feel. I mean, there's nobody that's just going to choose, like, yes, I want to just be so cranky and irritable, and I want to just, like, spew forth toxic negativity all the time. Nobody wants to be that way. And so fenugreek was able to help each and every parameter. And one of the ways that it helped women was with their hot flashes. So that would be worthy of taking a look at. I don't remember the exact dose, but that would be easy for you to look up. The other thing that I want you to consider is there is a gland right there at the base of the brain. It's called the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is literally one of the most interesting glands or tissues in the body because it's like a master control gland. One of the things that it regulates is your perception of thirst. So I know that you've come across people, you ask them, would you like some water? And they go, no, I'm not thirsty. And you're thinking, you haven't had anything all day long. How could that be? It's impossible. So if a person's not thirsty and they don't really know when to drink and when not to drink, you start thinking there's something wrong with the hypothalamus. Maybe it's getting weaker. It's not working right. But one of the aspects of the hypothalamus also that I find very, very interesting, it's like your number one regulator of body temperature. So I'm going to give you an example that's not really relevant to you. I had a woman come to see me over a year ago, and she was saying, I just can't tolerate the heat. She said, if it gets above 80 degrees and I go outside, it just wipes me out. It destroys me. It's almost like I'm having a heat stroke or heat exhaustion. It just wrecks me. And when I examined her, her issue was, her area of weakness was her hypothalamus. So I told her, I said, this is a good experiment. Let's try to run toward healing your hypothalamus. And I think I gave her a hypothalamus supplement. And all of a sudden she calls it back. She said, you're not going to believe this. I can tolerate heat just fine now. It's no issue. I'm going, wow, that was fast. Okay, so you've got to think that the hypothalamus has been injured or it's not working right, so we want to get it back up to speed. And that's where taking hypothalamus extracts comes in handy. So if there's a hot flash, I think hypothalamus. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, is that enough information for you?
Now, what can you do? Are you saying that maybe I need to drink more water or...
No, I was trying to give an analogy. Evidently, I didn't do a good job.
No, you did. I'm just trying to connect the dots.
So if you have, what's the number one annoying symptom that we're talking about here?
The hot flashes.
Okay, so hot flashes, one of the ways that you can run toward that. I mean, if you wanted to, you can go to any medical doctor, any nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, and they can give you hormone replacement therapy. They can give you a lot of estrogen. And that may resolve that. But the problem if we load up every woman in menopause that has hot flashes with hormone replacement therapy, there's going to be a bunch of those women that develop breast cancer. Okay, we don't want that. And so what I'm suggesting is just look up for yourself the idea of taking a tablespoon of flaxseed meal every day. Look up the idea of, fenugreek and maybe some hypothalamus extract. So I've given you three natural solutions that might actually play a role in helping your body manage its hormones better.
I can do that.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope you have a great day, ma'am.
You too. Bye.
Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye. Well, that's very encouraging. The phone lines are working perfectly. Hey, JP, you get an A-plus on your report card today. Okay, here's these three other articles, and I'm not going to just... Okay, we got another call. That's more important. People are always more important than me reading studies. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. I have a little problem.
Oh, no. What is the problem?
Just need your advice. So I am on buspirone, 5 milligrams. And I've been taking the standard process iodine, prolamine iodine.
Mm-hmm.
I take two of those at a time when I need to get some energy and accomplish a job. Okay.
Does it work?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying that when you take iodine, it gives you the wherewithal to have more energy and to accomplish the task at hand.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
But usually I take one in the morning and one in the afternoon, you know. But I'm trying to figure out what is interacting with the buspirone.
What do you mean by that?
I'm if I stand on my feet too long, you know, say 3 or 4 hours, sometimes just 2 hours, that my toes are in severe, start hurting real bad. They go numb. But then when I sit down and prop my feet up, it is severe pain. It's like thousands of needles sticking in my toes. And it takes 30 to 45 minutes for it to stop.
That doesn't sound like fun.
No. My other thing, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what is going on. I was on ashwagandha, which is really tremendous, helps me greatly. I was on 2100 milligram, and I accidentally, when I was ordering it, I accidentally chose 6000 milligrams. So I have this bottle that I have to finish. So I'm just taking it like the ashwagandha. I'm just taking it every couple of days.
Okay.
So I was wondering if... Okay, let me back up just a little bit. Years ago, they put me on Wellbutrin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the side effect. I couldn't even walk. My feet and toes were hurting so bad.
Oh,
it felt like they were very swollen, and you know, the pins and needles thing. So I got off of that. But
How long did that take on the Wellbutrin before you had those side effects?
Just a couple of days.
Oh, so it was just right off the bat, right?
Yes.
So now, right. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are you saying you're having almost a similar effect with the buspirone?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, these are the only things, well, the ashwagandha, the 6,000 milligram, which I think is too much.
Can I tell you what's popping into my head right now?
Yes, please.
Okay. So two or three issues right here. Number one, I would never want to tell you anything that might have a negative, you know, toxic effect with the medication, right?
Right.
So...
Right.
The goal today is to keep you alive. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And to find a way to make you better. That's goal number two, without poisoning you. So For whatever reason, I was thinking of a study that I read years ago about, can I just use the word depression? I'm not trying to label anybody, but can I just use it?
I don't mind. It's actually an anti-anxiety.
Okay, so do you mind if I talk just for a little bit and get back to what I was thinking?
Absolutely.
Okay, so these are just general ideas, all right?
Yes.
So if we talked about the topic of depression, one of the common denominators would be that an individual has a preoccupation with losses of the past. And I think every human being that's ever walked the earth is going to have plenty of things that they could look back on. And if they think about them, it's just not going to be real pleasant or fun. Whereas anxiety, which might be the flip side of the coin, it would be an individual has a preoccupation with potential losses of the future that may not even happen. Or actually, if I rephrase that, I might say a definition of anxiety might be a preoccupation with thinking about things that never ever take place. I mean, you think that you could lose out, but you just don't. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But what they all have in common is there's just some thought process where a person feels like, I'm going to miss out. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so in one study, and I'm trying to combine those two together because I think I read an article one time that they asked the question, what would happen if we compared taking antidepressants or anti-anxiety medications, if we compared those with the idea of giving people, it's kind of like a golden, it's a real yellow color. Like if you go to the grocery store and you spend 97 cents on the great value yellow mustard, that's a good price actually.
Yeah.
You squeeze it onto the plate and you go, wow, this is like so yellow. Well, what gives it that yellow color? Is it the garlic? No. Is it the vinegar? No. Would it be onions? No. Even if they're yellow onions, they don't look that yellow. It's going to be turmeric.
Oh.
And so I'm trying to build a case here, but turmeric is one of those unique substances that's been shown it can literally work just as good as an anti-anxiety medication if you take it for about 6 to 8 weeks, I believe. It's one of those things that doesn't work instantly. But here's the point I'm getting to. The brain, it can be like any other organ system, or the brain and the nervous system, it can be like the heart and the bloodstream, or the liver and the kidneys, or the muscles. It can still deal with horrific amounts of inflammation. And inflammation basically means as the brain neurons or the brain cells, they're breaking down or they're just not working real well. They're swimming in an ocean of inflammation. But turmeric is one of those interesting supplements that or herbs. It's like a root that grows like ginger. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a root that if you turned it sideways, it had the exact profile of our President Donald Trump? Have you ever seen that in person?
I actually have a picture of...
Oh, my goodness.
Like
that's such a bizarre, random question for me to ask you, isn't it? but anyway, turmeric is one of those things that can actually help all those medications work better and also help to mitigate a lot of the side effects, which I'm not trying to overpromise, but if I could build a case, I'd probably say, what about finding the Goldilocks just right amount of cod liver oil, as one example, and turmeric, and just be open to the idea. Now, can I go to topic number two? It's the same topic, but just a different take.
Yes.
Okay. There was a study that I read this morning, partially. I read the part that I wanted to read, so I'm not trying to say I read the whole thing. I didn't. But it was interesting, and it was talking about what is willpower. And I find those things so interesting. But in this study, they were talking about what happens if a person was really, really sad, or they have some degree of anxiety where they think, this is not going to go well, how's this going to work out, I feel nervous or jittery or anxious, or I just don't feel great on the inside, and I want to feel calm and relaxed and chilled out and good. But they were talking about willpower. Now, the author of the study, it was like some American Psychiatric Association. But I remember one of the authors was a woman by the name of Angela Duckworth. If I get her name wrong, I either put an S after the duck, and it should be Duckworth. Is it Ducksworth? Do you remember? I don't know.
No, I don't.
Oh,
remember.
You weren't there reading it. Never mind.
But
she's talking about willpower, and she was saying essentially, if you could just tell a person to start their day with exercise, morning exercise. I don't care if it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, but if they could do something where they're making their body obey them by doing something that's a little bit challenging, then that's almost like giving a person Ritalin. And what does that mean to the rest of us? It means it greatly enhances your focus and your concentration, your ability to stay on task. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, there's times in the day that we got to take every thought captive, right?
Yes.
Okay. She said it's also like taking Prozac. And I said, well, that's interesting. She was saying if you can discipline yourself to exercise in the morning, it's like taking Prozac. I said, what does she mean by that? She said, not only does it act like Ritalin to sharpen the focus of your mind and your brain, but it also acts like an anti-anxiety or antidepressant medication, because what it does is it definitely improves the mood of the human being. So instead of, you know, bending toward negativity, you tend to have more of a positive outlook, or you can tell yourself, I know this is difficult, the situation I'm in, but I'm doing better. So those are like three things between fish oil, turmeric. I don't know about the side effects because I'm always concerned about those. I tend to be of the mindset that when I read studies about long-term usage of antidepressant or anti-anxiety medications, I tend to look at the studies where they establish that it tends to cause more inflammation of the brain in the long term, which means that ain't good.
Right.
So there's another famous medication that's prescribed by doctors all over the world. It's called saffron. I kind of made that first part up. But saffron, there was one study where they gave it to people that had horrible, horrible issues in foster care, and saffron was able to greatly decrease inflammation of the brain.
Yes, I am on saffron also.
Oh, you're so smart.
Well, I go to a really good doctor.
You do?
Yes.
Well, is he American?
Yes, he is.
Is he from Texas?
Yes, he is.
Well, I don't mean to make an assumption. Is it male or female?
It's
now,
male.
Is he smart? That's the most important thing.
He is. He does a lot of research.
Does he have a good bedside manner? Because that's a little bit iffy at times. No, that's great.
Yes.
So I think if you'll play with those ideas. Now, in the real world, here's the other way I want to say this. What if you just went to the grocery store today and you just bought the powdered version of turmeric? You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
That would make it like really cheap and inexpensive. If I'm not mistaken now, it's usually about 4 teaspoons to get the job done. So if you don't want to get the expensive tablets where they try to concentrate the active ingredients or the curcuminoids in a pill, that may be one way that you might go. Have you ever heard of a person making, golden milk where they take... I remember not that long ago, I was at Breaking Bread at the health food store, and I think the lady's name was Judy. She made some, like a turmeric beverage. I think
yeah.
I chugged it down...
You trusted
but,
her.
But I do. Why would she try to sabotage me? She's going to say, I'm sorry, Dr. Morgan. That was cyanide in there or battery acid.
No, she's a wonderful lady.
Oh, are you kidding? Everybody there is wonderful. Even a woman on the back row. But I keep telling myself, if I drive by that bridge on 175, the Neches River, and I see her getting cold water from the spring, I'm going to stop and say hi.
Okay. You know, I heard a really bad rumor. Now, I don't know.
Oh,
I haven't
no.
yet.
What is
Somebody
it?
Somebody said they cut the pipe, the PVC pipe that comes out of that well.
I don't know that. I drove by last week, and there was a woman in a station wagon or a long SUV loading up with water.
Okay.
She and another man were out there just filling up. It looked like they had 20 jugs they were filling up.
Great. Yes. Okay, good.
Isn't that something? Water is like such an amazing thing.
Yes.
Well,
God knew what he was doing.
Anyway, I hope that I have helped you a little bit today.
Yes, sir, you have.
All
Thank
right.
you very
hey,
much.
Hey, thanks so much
I
for your phone call.
It.
I'm rooting for you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I think I pushed that one button one too many times. The number at the radio station is 903-589-8507. If you want to call and ask me a question, here's these brief abstracts. Right? Oh, here we go. We got another phone call, and this one's probably going to be super, super important. Sometimes I can tell. I can feel it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
I can tell this is going to be a very important phone call today.
I hope so.
Am I right?
You are right, sir. I had a bone density test done, and it was the DEXA score was 2.7.
No, you mean a minus 2.7?
Excuse me. No, that was in 2020, and then when they repeated it, it was 3.3.
But do you mean a minus 3.3?
It does not have a minus in front of it. It does not.
Oh, my goodness. Are you sure there's no minus in front of it? Because if there's a minus, what that means is you're losing bone at a faster rate.
Okay, yes. You know what? There is a minus. I'm looking at it.
You're so smart. Well, no. But you're pointing me in the right direction, so you're doing everything you can to help me out.
Okay.
Thank you. So you say it's now a minus 3.3?
Minus 3.5.
Oh, 3.5. Okay, now, are we talking about the femoral neck of the hip bone, or are we talking about the spine or somewhere else?
The femoral neck is 3.5, minus 3.5,
gotcha.
And then the lumbar is 3.9.
3.9.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so... Okay, I don't want to be like a jerk this morning, but I just want to give information. But the weight of a woman has everything to do with how much stress you put on the bones.
Right.
And so usually the cutoff is 120 pounds, and so that's considered an independent risk factor for developing osteoporosis. So,
okay.
But I'm going to tell you what I've seen over and over again. There is a supplement that I use called CalciFood.
Yes, I do take that.
Okay. That's one of the most important things. Now, if I had to choose one exercise only, I think I would choose body weight squats.
Okay.
Can you do a body weight squat where you lower your body slowly to the ground?
I sure can, uh-huh.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm about to say this is because I believe it to be accurate and true. So I want to make sure that everybody that's listening, including you, that you really pick up on this next point. Okay, there is a when you're on the floor and you're squatting and you decide I'm going to stand up from the squatting position and you're just going to push your body straight up. That's called a concentric contraction. That means the muscles are contracting. To the best of my knowledge, the one type of muscular contraction that has the greatest impact on building bones in the body is called the eccentric or the negative contraction. That would be lowering yourself.
Okay.
So if it takes 1,001, 1,002 for you to raise your body from the squatting position where you're standing up straight, I don't know, maybe 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I read one time that the greatest bone building technique is doing very slow eccentric squats. Now, I can't remember the number.
Okay, uh-huh.
I think it was a number 10, but I could be wrong. It might have been 5 seconds.
Right.
So, but you get where I'm coming from. If you said, I'm going to squat to the ground, 1,001, 1,002, and you get to number 5 and you're down. But you get where I'm coming from. If you slow down the negative contraction or lowering yourself, that seems to be the one activity that does more to stimulate the bones.
Okay.
To grow new bones. Uh-huh. So, is that like a weird concept, or are you okay with that?
No, I'm good with that. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's free, isn't it?
Right. Definitely. Okay. So, other than the calcium food, that's probably all the exercise, that's what I need to concentrate on.
Yes, and I might even send you to the store and buy like a 15-pound kettlebell. Have you ever heard of a kettlebell?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Oh, I knew you had. I don't even know why I asked you that question. You're always like 2 steps ahead of me anyway. So if you had a kettlebell, that's where you might be able to put some significant stress on those bones. But You understand the concept. In order to make a diamond that's super, super hard, you got to have a lot of pressure, a lot of stress on the coal, right?
Yes. Okay.
So that would be one thing that I would look at. And do you take vitamin K2?
I do, uh-huh.
Do you take magnesium?
I do.
You're doing everything right. Do you?
Okay.
Are you drinking Coca-Colas every day? Because that could rip your bones to shreds.
No, sir, not at all.
I didn't think so. Do you have any stress in your life? No. Okay, so just consider that right there, but we'll try to make sure this reverses and you go from a minus 3.5 and 9 back toward. Right now, we need to get you below 2.5.
Okay, sounds good.
Keep eating your protein.
Okay, all right, protein. You're awesome. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks for being easy to please.
Good, sir.
All right, have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You too, bye.
Sometimes I wonder if I explain things the right way. So you get where I'm coming from. If you want to make your bones thicker and denser, as opposed to being thinner and weaker, well, that's what you think about it, doing the slow lowering of the body. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning. I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. It's very sweet of you to ask.
Great. I would like to ask about something that my son is struggling with, and it is body acne.
What's his age?
He's 22 now.
Okay, so a 22-year-old man probably has much, much higher levels of testosterone than any other human on the planet. That may be a component.
Okay.
So this may be a little bit of a hormone issue. So the things that drive that, and I know I kind of cut right to the chase sometimes. I'm never trying to be mean, but if I had a nickel for every time I saw a young man that was 22 have lots of acne and it was related to a food allergy, I'd have a whole bunch of nickels or something that drives it. Maybe that's the way I should say it. If you consume a lot of dairy products like drinking milk or you have milk chocolate, you know what I mean by dairy products, don't you?
Yes.
Cheese, cream, yeah. ice cream, milkshakes, all that's dairy products. You're kind of asking to drive a hormone imbalance in the body.
Okay.
Is there any chance that he eats a lot of ice cream or dairy?
Maybe dairy. I don't think he eats a lot of ice cream. He's in college, but I mean, I could ask him for sure. But maybe some other dairy like cheese and things like that. I know he eats out a lot, being a college student.
Yeah, I remember those days. Did I ever tell you about the time that I bounced a check? The only time I ever bounced a check was back in the early 80s. I bought a gallon of milk at the store, and I was like 19 cents short in my bank account. That was, and I think back in the day, I had to pay like 10 bucks for a bounced check. I'm sure that's gone up. How embarrassing.
You did not tell me that. You have not told me that before.
Okay. And so most likely what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to greatly improve his diet if we can. If I had my way, if we did more of a meat, vegetable, and berries type diet, this would probably clear up and go away. So the problem with fast food is they got so much sugar in it and so much starch, it's going to cause insulin levels to go up. And when insulin levels go up, it's just going to throw a young man's hormones completely out of balance.
Okay, yeah.
When I was in
his dad has also, he's still struggling some with it on his arms.
Oh, really?
How it comes down the front of his arms. What would you say for a middle-aged person?
Well, if it's on the arms, what I'm doing is I'm looking at which organ in the body is most stressed, and probably what I would run with was the liver in this situation.
Okay.
And so I'm not picking on him at all, but does he drink soft drinks at all?
He does more like unsweet tea. I mean, he doesn't really do soft drinks as much.
Does he drink alcohol or beer at all?
Occasionally, yes.
But you're not talking about every single day, right?
No.
How much moonshine did he drink last night before he went to bed? I'm joking. I'm sorry. That's...
unless he snuck it.
You know, I think moonshine should be really important as an engine degreaser or something like that. But I don't think it should be in the human body unless you want to like wreck your liver. So,
yeah,
I'm gonna tell you a story real quick, and then I'm gonna get off it and come back to you. But I was in the parking lot of a very large grocery store that had started with the letter W. You'll probably never guess which one I'm talking about. But anyway, there was a young man that got out of a car, and he must have been like 6'4" or 6'5". I mean, just really tall, very impressive. And when he turned around, he probably had the biggest man boobs I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, geez.
And so what that does to me is I think I know exactly what he's eating. So I'm not trying to be critical, what I'm fixing to say, but I have been to that same store so many times, and let's just say there's a person in a wheelchair, I mean a motorized shopping cart. You know what I mean, don't you?
Yes.
Where they can get on it in the parking lot, and they can get out of their car onto the motorized cart, and they can do their grocery shopping. And there's usually, you know, a pretty obvious reason why they got to use it. You know, not always, but sometimes they use it because they have issues with... you know, their hormones or their body weight or diabetes or something like that. And I just watch what they purchase when they pull up to the, you know, the checker line. It ain't sweet potatoes and avocados. They're not putting broccoli in there. And, of course, they're paying for all of this with the plastic Lone Star card. If you want to call it SNAP or EBT or Lone Star or food stamps, I guess you can call it anything you want. But that is not what they're buying. There's no salmon in there. There's no tuna fish. There's none of that stuff. You know what? They got? Pure junk.
What?
TV dinners, chips, just pure garbage. And then the part that always amazes me when they had to pay for something that's not the card won't pay for, they got like wads of $100 bills that they roll out, and I'm going, well, I know why they're rich, is because they don't have to pay for anything. But they might pay for their ice cream, but it's just like a pure junk. But all that stuff does, it is disastrous for the hormones of a male body. See, if your son, I know he's probably dirt poor, isn't he?
What he has on his own, yes.
No, and I'm not saying that to be negative.
Support for mom and dad, yeah.
But it's not like he's going to go to the store and say, hey, let me get this fresh halibut that's been flown in from Alaska. He's probably not going to be able to afford that. But there are solutions. Maybe he could go with things like tuna fish, or maybe he could find different cuts of meat. But what you're doing is you're trying to lower the hormone load, and that's why when you consume dairy products, you're getting like a boatload of hormones. You really are. And if you add sugar on top of that and grains, you're just asking for a hormone imbalance. So if we could get through this and get his skin perfect and clean, he might go, well, Mom, you're like a genius. How did you figure this out? I even went to like three dermatologists, and they couldn't help me at all. That's usually a big part of my week is going, oh, you've been to seven dermatologists. Okay. Tell me again what you're eating. Anyway, you heard the old phrase from Hippocrates, let thy food be thy medicine, and let thy medicine be thy food.
Okay. So truly starting with dairy would be a good evening.
Dairy and sugar.
Okay.
Yeah, if he could satisfy himself with blueberries and strawberries and cherries and raspberries and stuff like that, we wouldn't have these issues.
True, absolutely. And then if they were more in their natural state, then frozen... Probably
now,
too,
in the store. Can I ask a personal question? Yes, the answer is yes. Can I ask a more personal question?
Sure.
I know these are always risky when I say stuff like that, isn't it? No.
Well,
does he currently have a fiance?
No, he does not.
Okay, so I need you to promise me something.
Okay, I shall
try. All right. If he starts doing these things, like eating blueberries and strawberries instead of eating sugar, and he cuts out dairy products and he just eats meat and vegetables, I do not want you calling and complaining to me about how all these young women at college want to come up and feel of his skin on his cheeks because it's so soft and smooth and supple and gorgeous. And so if you call me and complain, I'm going to delete the message. I'm not even going to entertain responding to it, okay?
I think I can promise that.
Okay, I know that was a big request.
Thank you immensely.
Oh.
Do you have time for any other, or should I let someone else in?
No, just give me a quick, yeah, give me a quick question.
Okay. So my other son has, we amazingly found his type 1 diabetes in a pre-stage, in stage 2. And he has not yet had to go on insulin.
Well, that means he's in the honeymoon phase right now. He better turn this around real quick. It's the same song and dance. Eat meat and vegetables and berries. No starches, no grains.
Okay. So no, would you recommend any supplements for him to take or just food?
Well, the one that comes to mind that you can get anywhere is called Gymnema. It's the technical, okay. I think the name is Gymnema sylvestri. It comes from a shrub or a bush that grows in India. But that's okay. The one that actually you know what a mouse is or a mice. In mice studies, when they induce type 1 diabetes, they can reverse it and turn it around. So I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of moving parts with this. It's not just as simple as just me saying do this and this and this. But right now,
right.
We got a chance to turn it around to see if his body's able to regenerate and grow brand new beta cells. How old is he, by the way?
He is 19. And he was actually the first in our state to get a new infusion for type 1. It's called Tzield. And it's supposed to sort of delay the progression to stage 3 by about average of 3 years.
Oh, wow. I'm not even familiar with that medication, so I don't know a thing about it.
Yeah, it was newly approved in November of 22, so it's a big thing in the diabetes community. But, you know, so he has sort of this chance. We have, you know, he's being monitored for sure. But while he's in this holding stage that we don't really know how long it's going to last, I was hoping to.
that's why we got to figure out what's going on. So most likely he has what's called a dairy allergy. I'm just being serious with you. Most likely he's very, very deficient in vitamin D.
Okay.
All those things plague world. Just like if you were to do your own research on this, it wouldn't take long to figure out. There's always a trigger. So type 1 diabetes at age 19, that's an autoimmune issue. We just want to find out, was it triggered by a viral load or a virus? Or was it triggered by some underlying? Well, that's one of the reasons why the immune system is a huge, big-time deal when it comes to autoimmunity. I don't want his immune system attacking a virus in the pancreas and destroying his pancreas in the process of killing the virus. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
See, that's where, like, natural medicine really, really shines. Because anything that you can do to improve how your immune system responds, it's like a home run.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to have COVID-19 and say, you know what, I'm just going to see what medicine has to offer on this, and I think I would like a ventilator, I'd like to be in ICU, put me on drugs. No, you do not want to get to that point. I promise you. You do not.
Absolutely not.
I think one of the articles that I read recently, and this is also a clue for you, and I know that you're smart and you're paying attention, there is a root that's very similar to turmeric. It's called ginger.
I listened to you talking about ginger.
Well, maybe there's a lesson in here for the young lad. He should be drinking like ginger root tea every single day, or taking a ginger supplement, or eating ginger.
Okay, and he loves it.
Just buy him a cheese grater or a wood rasp, and let him make his own ginger. He can put that on his food. No, but you're just trying to make it easy for the body to heal itself.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I was being a bit ridiculous. Like, let's let the COVID-19 go on so far that we got to put him on a ventilator. That's just.
I know.
Nuts.
You're making a point. I get it.
Yeah, kind of an extreme point.
Yeah.
So you've got the ball is in his court. So it may mean that he's got to modify a couple of things. Maybe he's not used to exercising every day. Maybe he would start doing that. Maybe we probably need to do a detox on him and clean him up from the inside out.
Okay.
He's probably got a dirty pancreas, and we should wash it and scrub it clean. So Jimmy,
I'm definitely up for that with his mother. His mother, let's wash his pancreas for sure.
Well, what you got to do is you got to restore order and you got to remove inflammation. So if he's got viral fragments or a viral load, a viral infection, we need to make sure that's completely resolved. And that's kind of a hard thing to completely talk about on the radio forwards and backwards. But ginger is one of those things that helps. And I'm going to suggest to you also, there's going to be a Goldilocks just right amount of vitamin D for a human being to enable the immune system to resist autoimmunity.
Okay.
So we need to play with it. But then again, you know what he could do easily if he wanted to or you wanted to? You could go and get lab tests done. We could measure. See, I don't know a thing about him other than what you're telling me, but if I did a CBC with a differential, I think I'd be looking for, is there evidence from a simple $8 blood test that maybe he still has a viral infection that nobody else is even going to think of covering? They're just going to blow right past that and go, no big deal here. Yeah, I know there's some things that are high and low and out of the range, but how does that affect us? Well, if it was their 19-year-old son, they'd be concerned.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I know that from talking to a whole bunch of physicians over the last 35 years, that somehow or another, it doesn't really, you know, register as that important until it's them or their family, which isn't that human nature. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of somebody, but we want to do the very best we can to give this young lad the greatest chance to have a great life, free of disease. And if we could reverse this while he's in the honeymoon phase, I recommend we do that.
Okay.
Let's create the right environment to heal his body. So he's just going to have to avoid, you know, processed junk food. There's no way around it.
Absolutely. I think we can do that.
Alrighty.
We've got a good start, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the phone call. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. There's time for another phone call. 903-589-8507. This program is Health Essentials. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. First, I'd like to say thank you for all the information you put out on Saturday morning.
Oh, you're so nice.
It means a lot. I have a question for you. My brother was diagnosed. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, and I don't know if I'm saying it right. It's called spinal cerebral ataxia, and it's supposedly...
Sounds horrible.
Yeah, and it's genetic, I guess, when he was being put together in the womb, whatever. It's a skip or something in genetics.
Now, are you saying that he was born with this problem and it manifested when he was young, or did it manifest later?
No, it was in his body like a ticking time bomb, and it came out at about 60. Most of the time it comes out when they're young adults or teenagers, and it came out on him, and he's 62, so he's had about a year or so now, and they say it's a genetic thing. And it basically it's like he's drunk. His speech slurs, he walks funny, he gets dizzy, you know. And I didn't know if you've ever heard of it, or I don't know.
I've seen plenty of drunk people, but that doesn't count, does it?
Yeah. Yeah. But when something's genetic, can it be fixed or repaired? Can you change a genetic problem with your
body?
Well,
for the first 59 years of his life, he had no manifestation of this. And so my point is going to be what you do to feed and nourish your body and take care of yourself. Just like if I asked you, do you do a great job of taking care of yourself? And you're going to say, yes, I do, but you'd be able to flesh it out. I only drink water, I drink herbal teas, I eat good, I eat clean, I exercise. All those things would be things that you could do. But under the right circumstances, if you don't eat properly, if you let yourself go, if you develop significant nutrient deficiencies, you're kind of asking for these genetic issues to rise, you know, to the surface and start sabotaging the human being. So the ball's in your court. What you do with what you got is so much more important than genetics.
Right.
I mean, there are some rare exceptions, like, what is that disease where you have children that age rapidly? You know, they could be 6 years old and they look like they're 85. That's a different one.
Right.
So does your brother take really good care of himself?
No, not really. He works hard, works a lot. He works out indoors and stuff like that. And he doesn't eat or sleep right, and he is under a lot of stress, so...
Well, those are the superpowers to heal his body. If we can restore his sleep, that's how the brain heals. That's why I'm bringing that up.
Right. Well, you know what? I was talking to my other brother the other day, and he's worried about him too. So, and I think was kind of the same. And I listen to you every Saturday morning, and I have a book full of notes here from you. So, and as far as health, so.
Okay, write this down. This is going to be our plan. Here's what you and I are going to do. We're going to pull up outside of his house in a black unmarked van, you know, like an old Ford, you know, cargo van. And we're going to put on ski masks. And what we're going to do is we're going to kidnap him, and we're going to force him against his will to go to a deserted tropical island where all he can do is eat seafood and fish and eat fruit and vegetables.
You know what? I think I should hook him up with you, because I hear you talking about fishing a lot, and he loves to fish. And that's probably the only time in his life he gets some rarely peace of mind and stuff, you know? So maybe I'll put you both on a deserted island. If I hit the lottery, I'm coming to you.
You know what? It won't take much for me. I just think maybe, let me see. No, 1 million will be enough.
Okay. All right, so I think that's a good game plan.
Yeah, there you go.
Like that. But I really do appreciate all your that you put out on Saturday.
Well, you're sure welcome. Thanks so much for your phone call.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day.
You too, buddy. God bless you. Bye bye. See, that's really the bottom line. You've got to wrap your mind around the idea: what is it that I can do to actually help myself? Could I improve my sleep? You know what? I feel exhausted every day when I wake up. Maybe I should do something about my sleep. I would say there's really no excuse today, because it's like so easy. If you don't know where to begin to restore your sleep, you might even go to YouTube and type in "what is the best way to restore my sleep," and you might come up with a video or a million videos that just give you 10 top steps, not from opinion so much, but from research. So a lot of things that I can tell you, some of it might be opinion, but some of it also is just looking at the scientific research. So why do you think they call the graveyard shift the graveyard shift? Is because you're up and you're working instead of sleeping. Talk about a recipe for developing cancer, every neurological disease that you can think of. I think the other day I was reading about one particular blood test. It's called C-reactive protein. And they were saying they could predict who's going to have neurological deficits or neurological diseases like Parkinson's. There's one called ALS. I think that's amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. That's called Lou Gehrig's disease. Talk about a great baseball player in person. Always liked reading about Lou Gehrig. But whether it's Alzheimer's, dementia, severe balance problems, dizziness, if you've got high C-reactive protein, you're waiting until your brain breaks down. It can't take it anymore. So what we do is, let's change your circumstances. Let's make it possible for your body to heal itself. That means clean eating, clean living, good exercises to stimulate growing brain cells. I always think that exercise and reading are two of the greatest ways to improve brain health. You gotta do the right ones. Anyway, but there's a ton of supplements that he could take to try to improve him if he wants to. Unfortunately, we are all out of time today. God bless everybody listening. Thank you for joining the program, and thanks to JP for fixing the control board where I could take phone calls. Thanks again, JP.